second chapter. Mark the second chapter. We're going to read verse 1 through 12. Before we turn to the word of the Lord, can we give God another hand clap of praise for all of our visitors, amen, that are here with us today. Amen. We appreciate you so much. We're so excited to see you. For those of you we haven't seen in a while, I want you to know I call your name out before the Lord. Amen. We're always in prayer for you. Amen. And today we're thankful for the move of God, the presence of God that we feel in this place today. The book of Mark, the second chapter and the first verse. If you're there, you can shout amen. If you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, please see us before you leave today. We'll make sure you have a Bible to take home with you. If you don't have a Bible, the words are for you, are provided for you up on the screen behind me. Amen. The book of Mark, the second chapter and the very first verse, the word of the Lord says, "And again he," which was Jesus, "entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press," they couldn't even get close to where Jesus was, "they uncovered the roof where he was." Now, uncovering the roof nowadays ain't like uncovering the roof then days. Right? This was a messy situation. "But they uncovered the roof where Jesus was, and when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay." Verse 5 says, "When Jesus saw their faith," everybody say their faith. "When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Woo. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but only God himself?" They didn't know they was looking at God. Verse 8 says, "Immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said to them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins," turns to the man who's paralyzed, and he says, "I say unto thee, arise." Arise. Everybody say arise. "Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." Verse 12 says, "Immediately he rose, he took up the bed, and he went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We have never saw it on this fashion." We have never saw it on this fashion. Now, Jesus had just finished his first ministry tour of this area, if you will. And he goes into the wilderness on the other side of the lake, or the Sea of Galilee, which was to us like a large lake. He goes over into the wilderness to pray on the other side of the lake. And as he is returning, word is spreading. He comes back to Peter's house. He comes back to Capernaum, Peter's house, and the crowds began to gather around the house and out in the courtyard in so much that they can't even get this paralyzed man in the door. Can I tell you today, people are hungry for Jesus. Don't you leave this place today thinking nobody's going to receive your witness. I'm telling you, people are hungry for Jesus. Why do you think you're in this place today with people dancing and shouting and giving glory to God? Because people are hungry for Jesus today. My God comes back to Peter's house and they gather all around the house out in the courtyard. They want to meet him. They want to see him. They want to talk to him. They want to touch him. They just want him to speak to him. Hallelujah. They want to know him and the power of his resurrection. But they need somebody to lead them to Jesus. And that, my friends, requires faith. And that, my friends, requires compassion. I want to preach to you for a moment today. I feel alignment with the Spirit of my God today. I want to speak to you for a moment. Faith for a friend. Faith for a friend. I want you to lay your Bibles down gently in your seats. I want you to lift your hands up towards heaven all over this place. I want you to open your mouth one more time and begin to give God the glory that he deserves in this house. Come on, give him some high praise today. Somebody love him. Somebody give him praise. Come on, praise him like he's never failed you before. Praise him like he's fighting for you yet today. Praise him like he's worthy. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Glory, praise, and honor are due you, Jesus. Bless your word today. Bless your word today. In the name of Jesus, God bless you today. You may be seated in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Faith for a friend. We are reading today about a true example of friendship. These four men went to great lengths today to bring their friend to Jesus. Can I tell you today that sometimes we may not act like it. Sometimes we may take it for granted. Sometimes we may let our busyness get us messed, all kinds of messed up. But friends are a valuable treasure. Can I tell you, friends are one of the greatest gifts that God has ever placed in your life. Man, I was studying for this week, and I began to think about the people that God has placed in my life. And I just began to worship him and say, Lord, I cannot thank you enough for the many valuable friendships that you have placed in my life. Friends are a gift from God. Friends are a valuable treasure today. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 4:9 that two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. How many have ever had a friend be there when you was at your lowest point in your life? Can I remind you, can this preacher just remind you for a few moments, you need the friendships that God has placed in your life. I'm not talking about the people that's pulling you out of the church. I'm talking about the people that's pulling you in the church. You need those valuable friendships that God has placed in your life more than you ever begin to realize you need those valuable friendships today. Because when one will fall down, the other will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth. Can I tell you, isolation never helped anybody. Isolation is not your friend. Isolation is not your companion today. Isolation is your enemy. Because the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him get up. Proverbs 17 tells us that a friend loveth at all times, and that a brother is born for adversity. The Lord has always encouraged his people to be friendly. The Lord has always encouraged his people to love his people. There is nothing greater than true friendship. No greater love can be found than a friend would lay down his life for his brethren. Friendship is a valuable treasure. It is a valuable gift from God. A friend loveth at all times, the Bible says. The Lord has always encouraged us to be friendly. Three of the fruit of the Spirit directly relate to friendship: love, gentleness, and goodness. The Bible ain't telling you to be good to yourself. The Bible ain't telling you to be gentle to yourself. He's telling you to be good and to be gentle and to be friendly to your friends and to the people that you love. Three of the fruit of the Spirit directly revolve around friendship. He tells us to love one another. How will we know? How will people know? How will the world know that you are my disciples? But that you love one another. Love one another. I'm talking about faith for a friend today. The Lord has always encouraged us to be friendly. But friendships require effort. This is where man fails. Friendships require effort. Friendships are not always easy. How many had a good friend in your life, but they're no longer in your life? Because friendships require work. Friendships are not easy. Friendships require cultivation. The law of sowing and reaping is at work in the idea of friendship. You cannot maintain healthy friendships if you do not sow into people and allow people to sow into you. And if we do not reap what is sown into one another, we cannot maintain healthy friendships. But we see the true example of friendship today at work in the lives of these four men. The law of sowing and reaping is coming into play. A man, the Bible says, that hath friends must show himself friendly. I'm always amazed that the most unfriendly of people blame everybody else for being unfriendly. Watch out, preacher. I know. The most unfriendly of people are always the ones that said, them people over there are so unfriendly. The man that hath friends, the Bible says, must show himself friendly. You got to open up. You got to love people. You got to be vulnerable to people. You got to trust people. Is that going to get you hurt? Of course that's going to get you hurt. But there ain't no greater thing that God has given us than the value of true friendship. I cannot imagine my life without the many friends that God has given me over the decades who are there repeatedly, Brother Kevin, to lift me up and to hold me up and to encourage me and to tell me that everything is going to be all right. Let me tell you something. It ain't the ones that was in the bar with me. It ain't the ones that was smoking a joint with me. It's the ones that go to church with me and love God with me and speak the word of God into my life today. I come to tell you today, the great greatest gift God ever gave you was the value of true friendship today. Come on, let somebody reach down and pick you up when you're down. Let somebody lay hands on you and anoint you when you're sick. You need value of true friendship in your life. The one will lift up his fellow. Lift up his fellow. Praise God. Church, friendship requires cultivation. Friendship requires reaping and sowing. A friend that hath friends must show himself friendly. Can I tell you, there's no greater expression of love than you going out of your way to lead somebody to Jesus. You can call them. You can check on them. You can carry groceries to them when they need it. You can do a million good things, but there is no greater expression of love than for you to lead somebody to Jesus. My God, I have watched lives absolutely transform, Brother Harold, before my very eyes, because people have led people to Jesus. I've watched their lives turn around, Brother Jason. I've watched shackles fall, bondage fall. I've watched things let go. I've watched people that was no good for them dissipate out of their lives. I have watched the Lord transform their lives before my very eyes because somebody loved them enough to lead them to Jesus. I'm talking about faith for a friend. There's no greater expression of love than for you to go out of your way to bring somebody to Jesus today. It's why we started Society of Soul Winners. It's why we went and made all these church cards. It's why we're encouraging people to reach into the lives of broken people and say, I don't know what you're going through, but if you'll just come to church with me, God can turn it around. Come on, all you got to do is just speak a simple word of faith. You ain't got to get all weird on them. You ain't got to get all crazy on them. Just reach out your hand and just take a church card. Say, I don't know what it is, but God said give this to you. And watch and see if faith don't take over. And faith don't speak into their life. And faith don't cause them to look on their dresser and see that little business card laying there. My God, I was talking about to somebody today. They said that, man, when they opened the door to their cabinet, one of the first things they see is that BBA sign on that coffee cup sitting there staring at them. Huh? That's why we give out BBA cups to our visitors, because every time they open their cupboard, they're going to say, man, I need to go back over and visit that church. Huh? Let me tell you something. Don't you ever discredit what God can do through a true friendship. That's why when we take on people in Bible studies, I always tell them, if you want to have Bible study tonight, we'll have Bible study tonight. If there's something specific you want to talk about tonight, we'll talk about it tonight. But other than that, if you just want to have dinner and you just want to talk and you just want to build friendship, I'm all about that too. Because I understand the value of true friendship. When one is down, the other will lift up his fellow. And I come to tell you, I come to remind you today, you need everybody in this church more than you think you need them. You need your brothers and sisters in Christ more than you think you need them. Hallelujah. There's no greater expression of love, church, than leading somebody to Jesus. You want your life to have meaning? You want your life to have purpose? Reach out and give somebody a church card and invite them to the house of God. Huh? Praise him, brother. Chase him, brother. Give that boy a church card to hand to somebody. Praise God. The way to Jesus, as he's sitting in Peter's house, appears to be blocked to this paralyzed man. They can't even get in the courtyard, let alone to the door, let alone to the couch where Jesus is sitting at. Now, they probably didn't have couches that day. They were probably sitting on the floor in the Middle East, but you get my point. They couldn't even get close to where he was at. The pathway to Jesus appeared to be blocked. They couldn't get to him because of the crowd. So they tore the roof off of the house, and they began to lower their friend down slowly right in front of where Jesus was at. We read this story. We don't even think about the true value of friendship. How much, Brother Chris, could these four men have loved this guy to carry him up on the roof, to begin to rip back the building materials, dig and claw and scratch through the clay as it's falling down in the face of Jesus? I can envision Jesus standing there in that room, and those pieces begin to fall down in the room. And I bet you he looked, because he knows all things, right? I bet he looked around that room and he said, "You're about to see what faith can do." That's exactly what he's saying when you're out in your neighborhood passing out business cards. When you go to the restaurant, you pass out a church card. You speak to that brother or that cousin you ain't seen in a long time, or that daughter or that grandchild, and you hand them a business card. The Lord's saying, "Watch what faith's about to do. You're about to see somebody transformed before your very eyes." And Jesus sitting back saying, "Well, y'all watch what faith's about to do. I'm about to show you true faith right here." Man, all of a sudden, this whole gaping hole in the roof, and this guy starts getting lowered down right in front of Jesus. My God. Man, that's faith. That's the faith of a friend. That's one lifting up his fellow. That's loving somebody with the love of God. Not kicking them when they're down. Not giving up on them because they fall away. That's the faith of a friend. The faith of a friend. And I can hear Jesus saying, "You're about to see what faith can do." How many know God loves that kind of faith? God loves that kind of faith. And you know what, man? When we was down the street, I remember people stepping out on faith, and they bought chairs that are sitting in this sanctuary right now, believing God was going to fill them with their family, their friends, and their loved ones. Now, I got one, my little granddaughter, in her chair today. We may not have them all, but the faith is still there. They're coming. Brother Don, the faith is still there. They're coming. Come on, Brother Joe, the faith is still there. They're coming. Brother Paul, the faith is still there. They're coming. You just got to keep on holding on to the faith of God and say, "Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. Lord, I'm being a faithful friend today. I'm believing you're going to make a difference in their life today." I'm telling you, the difference a little bit of faith can make, the faith of a friend speaking to the lives of the people that you love. Don't you believe what the world is telling you today? People are hungry for Jesus. Your children, your grandchildren, I don't care if they're resisting you. I don't care if your friends are resisting you. Don't you believe it. I'm not telling you get all weirded out on them now. Be wise. But let me tell you something. If they refuse, you just start praying that God will open the door. And you watch and see if God don't open the door. God will open the door. They couldn't even get into where Jesus was at because of the crowd. So they began to tear the roof off, and they lowered their friend right down where Jesus was. Now, there was no entrance on the rooftop. There wasn't a hatch like we got down here. I can take you down here. We can climb a ladder. We can get you right up on the roof if you want to. But where Jesus was at, there wasn't no access to the room from the roof. Right? There was no access to where he was from the roof. But can I tell you today that faith, Brother Micah, always finds a way. Where there is no way, faith will find a way. Come on, that's why, look, when there's an epidemic going on, come on, look, doubt says, what if? Well, what if I go to church? Come on, not long ago we just had a little spell of flu sweeping across the country. People say, oh, I'm afraid to go to church. I'm afraid to go to church because doubt says, what if I go to church? But faith says, even if I go to church and I get sick, I know God is still going to make a way for me. That's true faith. Faith says, even if. Doubt says, what if? I can imagine these guys are probably thinking, man, is Peter going to be mad at me if I rip the roof off of his house? Is Jesus going to condemn us and tell us we were wrong for destruction of property? They didn't care. They didn't care. All they cared about was their friend was sick and dying, and they knew the one who had the power to change it was in that room, and their faith had to find a way to get him in front of Jesus. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if they reject you, you just start praying to God and asking for another way. Pray and ask God to give you influence on them. Pray and ask God to open a door when a door is shut, and God will do it. Huh? For years, Sister Charlene, Brother Tommy, pray for that boy right there. For years, he was resistant to the idea of church, wasn't he? But a motorcycle wreck changed it all. When you pray, faith will find a way. There was a reason why that motorcycle accident happened, so God could show him he had a plan and he had a purpose for his life. And today he's up in the front of this church with his hands lifted towards heaven and tears streaming out of his eyes. Why? Because of the faith of a friend. Because a mama and a daddy that would not stop praying. Don't you dare give up on the people that you love. Don't you dare give up on the people that you love. God is not done yet. God is not done yet. There was no entrance to that roof, but faith found a way. Faith always finds a way. Where there is no way, God specializes in making a way. Faith always finds a way, church. The faith of some friends found a way to get this paralyzed man in front of Jesus. God loves that kind of faith. God loves when you say, Lord, they might call me crazy. They might think I'm crazy for going to that Pentecostal church over there. But I'm going to step out on faith. I'm going to pray over this church card. And I'm going to hand it to them anyway. God loves that kind of faith. God loves the faith of a friend. God loves somebody that can't sleep at night because they know that somebody's on their way to hell. It should keep you up at night knowing that the people you love most are lost and on their way to hell. That's the faith of a friend. That's the love of God that he wants each and every one of us to have today. I can only imagine what Jesus was thinking as that roof began to be dismantled over top of him. He knew faith was in action. He loves church when you say, I love them too much to give up on them. I love them too much to watch them go to hell. I love them too much to watch their life be in shambles. When I know that all I got to do is get them to church, man, I'm telling you right now, I got the faith today that if you invite somebody in your family that's broken, that's distraught, that's messed up, when they come through those doors, that the Lord will meet them right here in this room, and their life can be changed because of the faith of a friend. I believe God can turn their life around. If you believe God can turn their life around, if you believe this is helping you, would you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? I'm talking about the faith of a friend. Don't you give up on the people that you love. Don't you surrender them. Don't you hand them over to the enemy today. By faith, you claim them in Jesus' name. Jesus loves that kind of faith. He loves when you say, I love them too much, Lord, to just leave them where they're at. I remember for years, Brother David would get so frustrated at me. I always tell him, boy, you need to stop running from God. Boy, you need to get back into church. Boy, you need to stop doing that stuff you're doing. And he'd be like, I'm good. I'm enjoying what I'm doing. He'd get mad at me. But today he was up here rejoicing with his seed. Why? Because the faithfulness of friends that didn't give up on him, but kept seeking God for him, kept pleading the blood of Jesus on him, kept speaking into their life and saying, boy, we ain't never going to give up on you. I told somebody who hadn't been in this church for months last week, I said, I'm never giving up on you. I'm always going to plead the blood of Jesus on you. That's the faith of a friend. We cannot give up on these people. We got to love these people right where they're at. We got to pray them back into the church. Pray that God will give us influence on them. He loves when we say, Lord, I love them too much to let them go. I love them too much to watch them drown. I love them too much. Man, God can turn their life around just like he did yours. How many know he's no respecter of persons? If he turned your life around, if he took it away from Brother Bo, he can take it away from somebody else. If he took it away from Brother Teddy, man, I was watching Brother Teddy over here. He didn't care. He was worshiping God with everything that was in him. Let me tell you something. If he can do it for him, he can do it for anybody that you know today. He can do it for anybody that you know today. God loves that kind of faith. God loves that kind of faith. The Lord loves when you have faith for your friends, the people that you love. The people that tear your heart out. The people that you just can't give up on. God wants you to have faith in him to save them. But can I tell you, faith without works is dead. So if you don't ever open your mouth, you don't ever invite them to church, you don't ever tell them, Brother Joe, that something can be different than what it is, faith without works is dead. Nothing's going to happen if you're not a vessel for the Lord today. If you love them, do something to get them to Jesus. I don't care if you got to tear the roof off. And Sister Hopi, I was about to tear your roof off if you didn't show up at church today. Because I'm that crazy. The Lord don't care what you got to do. Just get their attention. Just get them to Jesus. Just show them that the Lord can turn their life around. The Lord can turn their life around. Faith without works is dead, church. If you love them, you got to do something to get them to Jesus. Even if they're rejecting you, just got to pray for a while. Just pray that God will open the door. People are lost. People are hurting. People are broken. People are in distress right now. That you don't see it every day on their face, but you have no idea what's going on in their head right now. You have no idea how bad they're hurting on the inside. You have no idea how bad they need Jesus in their life. And they're just waiting for you to reach in your pocket and take out a church card and say, I don't know what it is, but God said, give this to you. And you watch and see if you don't step out on faith. Man, last week we had 32 church cards given out in this church according to Society of Soul Winners. And I'm believing God this week we're going to have double. And I'm believing God that these seats are going to be full. And God's going to fill this place up. And God's going to save lives. And God's going to turn people around. And you're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. And you're going to see amazing things in the house of God. I believe it by faith. It's possible today. It's possible. People are lost, church. They might seem good on the outside to you, but how many know good ain't good enough to get to heaven? There's none good but God. I know a whole bunch of people by my standard, I would call them good people, but good won't get you to heaven. People are lost and without God. People need somebody to love them where they're at. People need somebody to invite them to the house of God to step out on faith and have the faith of a friend. People are lost. Unless we repent, church, we're going to perish. Unless we turn from our former life, unless we turn towards Jesus, unless we turn and walk with him, unless we live our lives the best that we can for him, we're going to perish. We're going to perish. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He said, Master, we know you're a teacher from God because nobody could do the things that you're doing except God was with him. So we know that God has sent you. We know that you're a teacher. We know that you could not do these things on your own. Jesus replied to him and he said, I tell you the truth. And this is what he said. He said, nobody. Everybody say nobody. Jesus told Nicodemus with his own mouth. He said, nobody. Nobody shall see God except they be born again of the water and of the Spirit. You cannot see God. You will not know God unless you're born again of the water and of the Spirit. Church, there is no other salvation today. People need what you got. They need what you got. There is no other salvation today. Jesus tells him nobody can enter into the kingdom of God except they be born again of the water and the Spirit. There's no other name, church, under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one name today. And it ain't Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. It's Jesus. Somebody shout Jesus. There's only one name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved today. And that's by the name of Jesus. Nobody in the Bible was ever baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Never. It's not recorded. There's only one name. There's only one saving name today. Can I tell you, there is no other salvation today. Jesus is the friend of all friends. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's a friend that'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll go all the way with you, even until the end. He's the friend of all friends. If you looked all throughout the Bible, you could not have found anyone who was of any higher caliber than Cornelius. We talk about, oh, he's a good person, she's a good woman, they might be good people. But lost is lost. And if they need Jesus, they need Jesus. You can look all throughout Scripture. You will not find anyone who was of any higher caliber than Cornelius. Brother Ken, the Bible says he was a devout man. The Bible says he loved God. He prayed to God. He gave alms to men for God. He did everything that he could do that by our standard we would say he was a good man. But the Lord spoke to him that day and said, I'm going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. You send over there. There's a man named Peter. He's on a roof right now, and I'm dealing with him. I'm going to have him get down off that roof. He's going to come over here where you're at. He's going to preach the gospel, the plan of salvation to you, and not just you, but all your house is going to repent, get baptized, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Friends, can I tell you that's exactly what happened? That is exactly what happened. By all standards, we would say Cornelius was a good man. Can I tell you, good ain't good enough. Good ain't good enough. We need the Lord. We need to repent, be baptized into the body, and be filled with the Spirit of God. By all standards, Cornelius was a good man. He was devout. He feared God, the Bible says. He gave alms. But without the plan of salvation, we're lost. There's only one plan. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh but by me. No man cometh but by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord sends an angel, tells him to send for a preacher so he can tell him how to be saved. Can I tell you today that believing is altogether something different? It is a separate act from receiving. You can believe all day long till the cows come home and not receive. Believing is an altogether different act from receiving. We got to receive the salvation of the Lord. We got to receive the goodness and the mercy and the grace of God in our lives. Believing is altogether a separate act from receiving. If you believe in God enough, you will seek Him. He will put you in a place to receive Him. He will. He will put you in a place to receive Him. John the Baptist's disciples followed the preaching of John to a T. I'm almost done. I know you heard that before. But John's disciples followed the teaching and the preaching of John to a T. But when they ran into Paul, and Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Brother Dave, they said, "We never even heard whether there be any Holy Ghost." And he said, "Well, then how were you baptized?" They said, "We were baptized under John's baptism." And Paul looks at them, and he says, "Paul simply baptized under repentance. Jesus hadn't suffered and died yet, and the Holy Ghost had not been poured out, and the name had not been given. You got to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus." I want you to know every one of those men was rebaptized in the name of Jesus. Paul and them laid their hands on them and prayed fire down from heaven, and the Lord filled them with the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you, good ain't enough. Good ain't enough. They started speaking in tongues, began prophesying. How many know, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Seek and you shall find. And if you want it, God will give it to you. If you want Him, He will reveal Himself to you. Paul ran into those men in Corinth. Amen. And what John taught them was good. But Jesus came and revealed the plan of salvation. And if we seek, we'll find. Church, keep seeking Him. Keep leading your friends to Him. Because there's no greater expression of love than leading somebody to Jesus. There's no greater expression of love. But friendship is not always telling somebody what they want to hear. Ain't that right, Brother Carl? Friendship's not always telling somebody what they want to hear. Sometimes you got to tell people the truth. Sometimes you got to tell them. Now, you got to do it with love. We talked about in Sunday school, everything that God does in our life, His motivation is love, right? We got to have that same motivation. But sometimes being a good friend is not telling somebody what they want to hear. Well, God loves you regardless of that lifestyle you're living. No. If that lifestyle is going to send you to hell, you don't need to be condoning what they're doing. You need to be telling them the truth, because true friendship is not telling somebody what they want to hear. True friendship is sharing the truth with them, speaking into their lives. Because the gospel that we preach, church, it's not after man, right? It's not after man, it's after God. And it doesn't matter whether we like it, whether Uncle Bob or Aunt Susie likes it. The truth is the truth is the truth is the truth. It's not after man, it's after God. A true friend sounds the warning in love after they have built a relationship. You don't just walk into somebody's life and think you're going to set them straight. No, you love them. You be a friend to them. You build a trusting relationship with them so that you can speak into their lives. A true friend will sound the warning in love. truth is, church, we have a duty to warn. Every day, we are racing toward the coming of the Lord. We do not have time to play games. We do not have time to sow wild oats. Every single day, we are racing toward the coming of the Lord. And we don't have time to patty cake people. We don't have time to tell people everything that they're doing is okay. A friend is a watchman on the wall. If you love them, you'll warn them of the danger that's before them. If I'm walking out of the woods and on this trail in here, there's this gaping hole, and I'm coming out of the woods and there's some people coming in the woods, it's a pretty moral thing for me to say, hey, when you all get in there, watch out right there, right up ahead. There's this big gaping hole, and if you ain't careful, you'll fall in it. That's the right thing to do. A friend is a watchman on the wall. A true friend will say, the Lord is coming soon. You got to get right with God. You got to give it to God. A true friend will warn in love. If you love them, you'll warn them of the danger that is before them. If you love people in your life, you have a duty to let them know this life is temporary. This life is temporary. Some people found out this week, this life is temporary. We don't have a promise of tomorrow. We don't have time to play games with God. Right now, today, is the day of salvation. The Lord is coming soon. If you love the people in your life, you have a duty to tell them this life is temporary. We're going to face judgment. We're going to stand before God. You're going to pray, God, I don't want them to fall into the pit. God, I don't want them to be lost. God, I don't want them to go to hell. Lord, I want you to save them. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. I want this church to have faith that God will save your family and save your friends. I want you to hear your pastor today. There is none that God cannot save. The Lord has never lost one. Whosoever is willing. We don't get to decide when they're ready. We don't get to decide if they want this or not. And that's not our job. Our job is to offer them. Our job is to present to them. Our job is to love them where they're at and warn them that the Lord is coming soon. My daughter is running from God right now, our oldest daughter. And she will continually call me and say, Dad, I had the worst dream last night. The Lord came. And my children went to heaven and I was stuck behind. I didn't get to go. And I said, sis, how many more dreams like that is it going to take? How many more times does the Lord have to speak into your spirit? How many more prayers do I got to pray until you realize how bad you need Him? How bad you need Him. A true friend will tell them the truth. Tell them the Lord is coming soon. We don't have time to play games, church. Today is the day of salvation. Have faith that God will save your family and save your friends. Have the faith of a friend today. Don't be afraid to speak into their lives with love. God knows your heart. If you love them, if you're sincere, God's going to open a door where you can speak into them. Don't be afraid to speak to them in love. As we come to a close, I want to look at verse 5 just one more time. Verse 5 says, when Jesus saw their faith. Everybody say their faith. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The Bible, Brother Ken, for the first time, this is the only time I've ever read this. The Bible doesn't say that he saw the faith of the paralyzed man. It says he saw the faith of those four friends. Well, the next time you think, well, they won't listen to me, they don't want to hear what I got to say, they're running, they don't want no part of this, I don't care what they want. God knows what's in your heart, and God sees your faith today, so don't you dare give up on them. Don't you dare give up on them. The Bible says that the Lord saw their faith, the faith of the four men that lowered that man down in front of Jesus. I want you to know, when you stay out of church for a while, don't think you're going to destroy my faith. I'm still believing God's going to get a hold of you. I'm still believing God's coming for you. I'm still believing God's going to redeem you by His blood. I'm still believing God's going to take away that stuff that ain't supposed to be there. You know why? Because God sees my faith today, and God sees your faith today for your family and for your friends. The Lord saw the faith of those four men when they lowered that paralyzed man down in front of Jesus. And it was because of the faith of those friends. Don't you ever discount the faith and love of a true friend. They will not give up on you. They will not give up on you. They may give you your space, but you know they're in the shadows, seeking God for you, praying for you, asking God to save you. That's what a faithful friend does. Have faith today, church, that God will save your family. Have faith that God will save your friends today. The Lord saw their faith, and He said to the sick of palsy, to the man that was paralyzed on that bed, He said, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." The faith of these four friends touched the heart of Jesus. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope today for some people. That gives me hope for some people that I love today. Oh man, I look at them different now. I don't care how hard they run. I don't care how hard they try to stay away from God. I got faith today, and I know God sees my faith today, and He can save them because of my faith today. Hallelujah. Have faith that God will save them. Faith of these four friends touched the heart of Jesus. Jesus saved him and He healed him. Can I tell you today, He cares about your family. Can I tell you today, He cares about your friends. Pray that God will give you influence on your family and your friends, and you can speak into their life and you can lead them to Jesus. I'm talking about faith for a friend. Just as faith drove these four men to get their friend to Jesus, regardless of the obstacles that stood in the way, faith will constrain us today to pray and to seek God and to speak into the lives of the people that we love. Faith will constrain us to do that today. Buy into the vision today, church. Get them here and watch and see what God does. You don't have to do it. All you got to do is be a faithful friend. All you got to do is let God see your faith. All you got to do is let God see that you believe that He can save them. One more verse of Scripture, Acts 2 and 40. The Bible says, "And with many other words did Peter testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they gladly received Peter's word, were baptized," the Bible says, "in the name of Jesus, and the same day was added unto them about 3,000 souls. I'm going to prophesy into this body today, God is going to save your family. I'm going to prophesy into some people that got faith today. If you'll open your mouth, if you'll listen to God, if you'll trust God with all your heart, if you'll have the faith of a friend, God will save your family today. God can do it today. He can do it. All you got to do is lead them to Jesus. He will do the rest. He will do the rest. These four men were an amazing example of what true friendship is. Faith will always find a way to Jesus. Faith will always help us find ways to get the people that we love to Jesus. These altars are open. I want everybody that's under the sound of my voice to pick somebody in your heart, in your mind, somebody you love dearly. Somebody you know that if the Lord doesn't do something drastic in their life, they're on their way to a devil's hell. I want you to get a burning in your soul today, and I want you to get out of that seat that's holding you back. I want you to walk up to the front of this church, and I want you to say, Lord, you saw the faith of those four friends. You're able to see my faith today, and you're able to hear my prayer today, and you're able to save the ones that I love today. I want you to get out of that seat. These altars are open. Pick somebody in your life today. Ask God to give you the courage to lead them to Jesus. God is going to do it. God is going to do it. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is going to do it. The Lord is going to make a way where there does not seem to be a way. Bring them.